full church. Is that like Jesse did it? Welcome. This week's announcements, there's a craft fair meeting following the worship at the Koinonia classroom. Choir practice today at 5 o'clock. Good news small groups tonight, 6 o'clock, studying in Hebrews. Church board meeting has been canceled. Board members, please pick up your packets from Wayne. Wednesday night, regular activities, regular children, youth, young adult, journey group, and adult Bible studies. Bread of Life Ministry is still taking donations for the November meal. And we have two round tables that are missing in the Family Life Center. If you've got them and you've borrowed them, it's okay, but bring them back. Okay, now we have Trunk or Treat on October the 29th. Please sign up in the foyer to do a trunk. Candy is being collected in the barrel in the foyer, and I believe Miss Heather wants to talk to you about that.
Good morning, Coastal Nazarene. It is Heather and I, if you don't know who I am, and we were not able to be there this morning because we are enjoying fall break over with our family in Virginia. But I did want to take a minute before time got away with us to talk about something fun that is coming up, and that is our trunk or treat. Now, before you tune me out or pretend that you are too old for this or too young for this, I want you to hear me out. This really isn't just for the young families with little ones. In fact, our young families are in that season of their lives where just getting them here with matching shoes deserves a medal. And they are in a receiving season. And so this is a great time for them to be with their families and their little ones and for the rest of us to come alongside them. You can even partner with one of our younger families and let them dream up the cute ideas, and you can handle the setup and the passing out of the candy. We've already got the candy provided, so that part's super easy. And since it's on a Wednesday night, it's already part of our routine. You're normally here anyway, so why not spend it doing something that reaches our community in a really practical way? And you might say, I don't have a trunk. No problem. I have an extra one. There might be some others that have one they can loan you as well. If it's chilly, bring a coat. This is not about being fancy. It's about being faithful. And here's the thing. This night isn't just about candy and costumes. It's about connecting. It's about showing Crossville that we're a church family that loves people and enjoys being together. It's an easy way to meet families who may not be part of any church and let them know that they are definitely welcome here. So let's not take the night off for ministry. Let's lean in, have some fun, and show our community who we are. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer to sign up for a trunk, and you, I promise you, you will be glad that you did. See you next week.
So whatever Pastor Heather said, do it, okay? All right, and when I forgot, Chili Cook-Off has moved from October 26th to November the 2nd. Other events that are coming in the month and the next few months are in the bulletin and newsletter, which was emailed out on Friday. If you're not on an email list, please let us know so that we can get you on the email list. Thank you for your faithfulness and giving. And we do have the offering boxes back there in the back next to the sound booth. Thank you.
I appreciate Bill doing the announcements for me. Otherwise, it would have been the Williams Show today. But thank you, Bill, for doing that for us this morning. Let's stand. We're going to worship the Lord together. Amen.
Jesus on the cross of Calvary, He declared His work is finished. He has spoken this hope to me. Though the sun had ceased its shining, though the war appeared as lost, Christ has triumphed over evil. It was finished upon that cross. Jesus paid the price for me, full the pardon He has offered, great the welcome that I receive. Boldly I approach my Father, clothed in Jesus' righteousness. There is no more guilt to carry, it was finished. was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me, but the Son who died to save us rose that we might be free indeed. Death was once my great opponent. Fear once had a hold on me, but the Son who died to save us rose that we would be free indeed. Yes, He rose that we would be free indeed. Free from every plan of darkness, free to live and free to love. Death is dead and Christ is risen. It was finished upon that cross. Onward to eternal glory, to my Savior and my God, I rejoice in Jesus' victory. It was finished upon that cross. It was finished upon that cross. It was finished upon that cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Standing, and let's go, Lord, in prayer before Brother William comes to bring the message God's given him. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the debt we owe is you paid. We owe all to you because of what you have done for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the forgiveness that we have this morning, that we can stand because of Jesus before a holy God. Lord, we love you, and we pray that our praises and our songs we've sung have been sweet in your ears. Now may we come with ears and hearts open for your message to us. Touch Brother William as he brings the message. And we just pray your hand upon him. And may you be glorified and praised in everything that goes on in these next few minutes. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
One of the most favorite things that I get to do as a pastor is to dedicate babies. I like that. I think it's a special time for us as a church because we see the church continuing to grow in that way. But I think it's also a special time for us as a church because we once again renew our commitment to our children and to the children who are part of our congregation. And this morning we're going to ask Kenan and Chelsea and Marin. Matthew chapter 19 verse 13 says, "Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them, and Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.' These parents come today as our Lord's earthly parents did to present this child to the Lord. And by presenting this child for dedication, they signify not only their faith in the Christian religion, but also their desire that she may know early and follow the will of God, may live and die Christian, and may come into everlasting life. In order to attain this holy end, it will be your duty as parents to teach her early the reverence of the Lord, to watch over her education, that she be not led astray, to direct her mind to the Holy Scriptures and her feet to the sanctuary, to keep her from evil habits and friends, and as much as lies in you, to bring her up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Will you endeavor to do so by the help of God? If so, answer, I will." As I look at Marin today, I realize that that her life is largely an unwritten blank slate. She has all the potential in the world, and God has a plan for her. We have to instill in her a desire to live a life led and directed by God. Like all of us, Marin will only come to know Jesus as her Savior by someone telling her, by someone providing a place for her. She must at that point accept Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Chelsea, you carried Marin close to your heart for about 9 months. Now you carry her in your arms. And one day you will carry her in your heart. Cherish these days and nurture her as God does his children. Kenan, of all the people standing here today, you have one of the greatest responsibilities: to lead and to guide. They'll listen to Mom. They'll follow you. You know that. You and I have talked about that. And one of the things that we want to do as a church today, it's small, but it's so vast in what it can do. And so, Kenan, we give you the Word of God. Take her to the Word of God early. And now, as a congregation, we have a responsibility to provide a place and to provide leadership so that these parents, as well as the parents of all of our children who are part of our church, can have a place that they can learn and they can know and come to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. That's what this is all about. And so this morning, you have a part in this dedication. And if you are willing to do what you need to do as a congregation to support these parents, I'm going to ask you to stand as we dedicate Marin to the Lord. Marin, Luella, Zelke, this morning, your parents, your brothers, your grandparents, the family, and all of this congregation, we dedicate you in Jesus' name for the glory of God. And believe God is going to do great things through you in Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful that we have this opportunity this morning to come together with Kenan and Chelsea and the boys and their family. But we come together also as a congregation this morning to give this little one to you. Indeed, you have given her to them. Lord, I believe it's in their hearts to do everything that they need to do to bring her to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would bless them, that you would encourage them, that you would guide them, and that you would help them. But Lord, I pray that you would help us as a congregation, that we can do everything that we can do to see that Marin and all the children of our church come to know Jesus early. And we love you, and we thank you, and we praise you this morning, Lord, for this life. May you bless her. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning from Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And we're going to begin with verse 22 and go down through verse 27 as we look through the message this morning. A few months ago when we announced, and I've said this a couple of other times, a few months ago now, and we've been in Exodus now quite some time. When we announced this, I kind of detected this audible groan from you. It was not one of those passages of Scripture that, you know, you think, well, how in the world am I going to get anything out of this? And a lot of times we do. We look at the Old Testament and we say, there's not anything there. But I want to tell you, there's a whole lot here that we overlook. And if we don't have the Old Testament, we have no foundation for the New Testament. And so this morning, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. Last week, we talked about the song of Moses and Miriam. And that passage is not a well-known passage. And even this passage that we're going to look at this morning, it is not a well-known passage. It's kind of one of those obscure passages. But I have found out a long time ago that many times it is some of those obscure passages that can teach us some of the greatest lessons. And so this passage describes an event that occurred to the people of Israel shortly after they had been delivered from bondage in Egypt and had started their trek to the promised land. So let's look at these verses together. Exodus chapter 15, beginning with verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, and he threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. There the Lord issued a ruling and instruction for them and put them to the test. He said, "If you will listen carefully to the Lord your God and do what is right in His eyes, if you pay attention to His commands and keep all His decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had a passage speak to you? I'm not talking about that it literally just snapped out and talked to you in an audible voice, but have you ever had a passage that really got a hold of you? And I want to tell you, that's kind of what has happened with me in this passage. I know that sounds strange, but that is really what has happened. You see, I'm not sure who writes instructions for pieces of things, furniture, whatever that you buy and put together, but I have found out a long time ago that most of those people do not speak Southern. They may speak English, but they don't speak Southern, you know. You pay for those items, and really, if you pay for them, they ought to be put together anyway. Y'all didn't like that, but anyway. You know, I really think, I really, as I read through some of those instructions sometimes, I really think that somebody needs to look at those, and I really think that they could give better instructions. And I'm not going to ask if any of you in here this morning have ever experienced that, because I know that most of you had, and if I were to ask you to raise your hands and some of you didn't raise your hand, then we would have an altar call immediately for those who just lied. You know, you read those things, and you get frustrated. And that leads to grumbling. Or as the King James Version says here, it leads to murmuring. I love that word murmur. It's a word, and you're going to be impressed that I even knew this. I knew it before I asked Jack about it. And I hope I pronounce it right. The word is onomatopoetic. It means that it sounds like what is occurring. And that word murmur really sounds like what happens, you know. It seems like as you're doing these kind of things, one thing goes wrong and then the next thing goes wrong. And no matter what you do, it seems to get worse and worse. And finally, one thing, too many goes wrong and you lose your perspective. And something in the form of anger breaks out. And basically we're saying, oh, great, what is going to go wrong now? That is basically where you find the children of Israel. It's that spirit of what's going to go wrong next. Now, only a few days prior, the people of Israel had seen God perform a great miracle. I mean, and it involved a whole lot of water. The Egyptian army was closing in on them, and they were up against the sea. There was nowhere for them to go. They were afraid of the water because it was not something that they had dealt with a whole lot. And so here they are. They have nowhere to go, and God moves. He comes to their rescue. He parts the sea. The people go across on dry land, and then he allowed the sea to close up again on the Egyptian army. In verse 30 of chapter 14, it says, "That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant." You come to chapter 15, and we talked about that last week. And what you have in chapter 15 is a celebration. You have them singing a song. As I said last Sunday morning, basically the song of Moses, and then you have the song of Miriam, and basically it was one of these antiphonal things where one person would sing something, the other person would sing something. It was a back and forth, but folks, I'm going to tell you, it was a celebration. Until they traveled 3 days. They traveled 3 days into the wilderness of Shur, and as they're traveling, they find no water. The terrain was hot. It was dusty. The people were exhausted. Perhaps after all of this had gone on and there was no water, maybe they were emotionally drained. I don't know what all was going on, but with each turn or each place that they thought that they might find water, they did not find any water. And finally, they find water. Now, I want you to know that I used to ride bicycles. I know I don't look like it now, but I used to ride bicycles. And every week we would ride 30 miles on Tuesday night, 30 miles on Thursday night, and anywhere from 60 to 100 miles on a bicycle, not a motorcycle, on a bicycle. We would ride that basically every week. And I'm going to tell you, if you get without water on a bicycle ride, you're in trouble. If you get without water on a run, you can be in trouble. Can you imagine going 3 days and all these many, many people and there is no water to be found, and finally you come to a spring and you dive in to drink it only to find out that it's bitter? That's what the word mara means, is bitter. Now, I read the Bible with imagination from time to time. You know that anyway. And I can just hear the people as they are beginning to try to drink the water. They cannot drink the water. And basically what they say is, "Nice going, Moses. You've brought us out here to this promised land. Supposed to have all these springs of water. What are we supposed to do? We can't drink this." Well, you see, I think that happens to a lot of us. Oh, I'm not talking about water. I think it happens to a lot of us along the way. Things happen, and we're frustrated. There are setbacks. We begin to murmur. We begin to complain. We begin to grumble. We begin to gripe. Frustration turns to anger. Anger turns to bitterness toward God. And rarely do we think in the midst of that, that God very well might be trying to teach us a lesson that we really need to learn. And when you come to this passage of Scripture, The story tells us here that the people of Israel and all the things that were going on, there are at least three things that you can get out of this. And that when we encounter bitter times, and so I want us to look at those this morning. The first thing that I want you to see as you look at this passage of Scripture is that you and I need to see bitter times as times of training. Look at verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That's why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Can I tell you, the human nature is basically the same now as it was then. I mean, here's what amazes me about this passage of Scripture. It's 3 days earlier, a few days earlier, God had used plagues to bring about their deliverance. They were now set free. They had journeyed into the desert. They had been backed up against the sea. There was nowhere for them to go. I know I've already said all this. There was nowhere for them to go. And God opened the sea. They walk through on dry ground. They get over to the other side. The sea closes back up, and they see the Egyptians scattered all over the beach. 3 days later. 3 days later. Shall I repeat that one more time so that you will get it? 3 days after they have seen the deliverance of God, they are mad. Isn't that amazing? And what is amazing to me is they allowed a bitter stream to take away the joy of their deliverance. They allowed a bitter stream to take away the joy of their deliverance that they had experienced just 3 days earlier. And Moses, in verse 25, it tells us that Moses cries out to the Lord, and the Lord shows him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became fit to drink. And then it says this. There the Lord issued a ruling and instructions for them and put them to the test. The New Living Translation here is just a little more understandable. Let me read it to you. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to Him. I want you to understand something this morning. God had far more in mind for them at this point. He had far more in mind than to simply deliver them out of Egypt. He wanted something to happen in them. He was entering into covenant with them. He wanted a relationship with them. And when God saves people, He saves them in order that they might live for Him. And in saving them so that they might live for Him, He will equip them and train them. And sometimes the training is painful. I didn't figure I would get very many amens on that one. Sometimes the training is painful. You see, God allowed Israel to be tested and to be tried by the circumstances that they were there in order to help them become more what He wanted them to be. God has not saved us from our sins simply to rescue us from them. He has done what He has done in order to bring us into the image of His Son, Jesus. God said to Israel that they would be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, basically says to us the same thing. When he says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you might declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. God is in process in all the things that we go through in our life to bring us into conformity to the image of His Son. James, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, says this, listen at the first words, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wow. There are three things, and this is a whole other sermon that I could preach, but we're not going to. But let me give you three things this morning, really, that are happening here with Israel and what can happen with us, okay?
The first thing that I want you to see is that when we go through times of trials, when we go through times of testing, we need to see that God is still in control. You know, it's not outside His control. I mean, the encounter that the Israelites had here with these bitter waters, it was not an accident. It was something that God knew about, and He was going to use it in order to bring about something in them. What's interesting, and we're going to get to this in just a moment, but I just want you to realize that just 10 miles away, there were all these springs and palm trees. We're not there yet. We will get there. You see, you may be going through a time of testing right now, but I want you to understand that it is all still under God's control. We need to remember Romans 8:28. Another principle that is at work here in this passage of Scripture is that times of testing come into our lives so that God can teach us something based on something He has already taught us, so that He can use this new time of testing for another time of testing that may be coming. Now, I knew that was going to be a blessing as well. But it's really the truth. I mean, when you begin to think about it, God uses all of these things in the life of Israel in order to bring them to a place that He really wanted them to be. But many of the things that He used along the way, they were not pleasant. Someone has said, all good teachers know that a learner must hang new information on hooks that have already been established in the learner's mind. And God is the master teacher. You know. They had gone through the water. Here they're dealing with water. In just a few days later, they're going to find a blessing that also involves water. But God was teaching them. Jesus did that with the disciples in the feeding of the 5,000. And then you go on to another passage and He feeds 4,000. One lesson was built on another lesson. And Mark's example is a prime example of this. If you begin to read through the book of Mark, you're going to find over and over again that Jesus is building and building and building on what He is teaching the disciples. It's a process to get them where He needed them to be. You see, as you begin to look through this, you and I have to see that bitter times are really times of testing. And no one likes that, okay? Let's be honest about that. Nobody likes that. But God is in process in our lives. This is a really poor illustration, but I'm going to tell you, it was one of the first things that I thought about as I was getting through the end of this first point, which really could have been the entire message. I can't believe I'm doing this. How many of you have seen the movie Karate Kid? A lot of people. Do you remember when Mr. Miyagi was teaching Daniel to do all this stuff? And Mr. Miyagi has Daniel stand there, and what do? Wax on, wax off. Some of the lessons that you and I have to learn are lessons that we learn that we don't have a clue what it's going to do for us later on. But at some point in time, Daniel learned that wax on, wax off was a means by which he could protect himself. And please understand something, folks. What God is doing in us now, we may not see the preparation for, but He is still at work. Paul said, I do not consider our present sufferings are worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight that outweighs them all. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We believe in two definite works of grace, okay? We believe that those are instantaneous. But we also believe that there is a process that leads up to them. God instantly does something and we continue to another point in place and time where God instantly does something where we continue on. God is teaching us through the times of bitterness for what He has in store for us. The second thing that I want you to see this morning as you look at this passage of Scripture is that through these times of bitterness, we've got to call on God. It's in the times of bitterness that we have to call on God. The people took one gulp of the waters there at Marah and they begin immediately to murmur against Moses. I mean, that's our usual pattern. We have something happen and we begin to murmur about it. We begin to complain, if to nobody else, but we complain to God about it. And when we think about it, we murmur and we complain about those things without putting together that God is at work. So we need to call out to Him. I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. Had I been God, I would have written Israel off and started over. I mean, really. They were constantly griping about something. They were constantly going against what God had told them to do. But then you have Moses, okay? And so Moses cries out to God. Now hold on. And what does God tell Moses to do? Pick up a stick and throw it in the water. That's what He tells him to do. Pick up a stick. I can just see Moses. Moses has cried out to God. And God says, see that stick? Moses, throw it in the water. And Moses, if he was anything like me, said, you're kidding. All these people are upset. And you want me to take a stick and throw it into the water? Now, he may not have expressed that outwardly, but somewhere in the deepest recesses of his mind, I think he thought it. Because we're human. Commentators say that in this part of the world, and this is interesting, that certain bushes that are placed in bitter water will sweeten that water. And God knew exactly which bush needed to be put in that water to make it sweet. When we cry out to God, God knows exactly what we need in our lives to put into our lives in order to take the bitterness, the harshness, the things that are going on and make them sweet again. Now, God doesn't always work like this, okay? So I don't want you to go out here thinking, oh, it's all going to be solved here in just a moment. Sometimes it doesn't happen this way. But even when it doesn't happen this way, we have to trust, we have to follow, we have to see the miracle of God in our lives or in the life of somebody else. The psalmist said in Psalm 50, verse 15, call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. Call on me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you will honor me. Moses cries out. That's the only option that Moses has. He has an entire nation full of people who are upset. And God tells him to do something that seems so far out of the ordinary, so far removed from what should be happening. But Moses was faithful. And Moses did it anyway. One more thing that this passage teaches us. And maybe this is what somebody needs to hear today. That God, in all of this, had a time of refreshing coming to Israel right after their bitter time. I mean, I find great encouragement in that. I mean, look at verse 27. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped near the water. I love Cajun cooking. I mean, you can't even begin to imagine how much I love Cajun cooking. I almost feel like some of the women when it comes to Louisiana recipes, because I'm always looking at them. I want to cook crawfish etouffee so bad I can taste it. And I have tasted it, and that's my problem. I don't want to mess it up, you know. I was looking on eBay about 3 weeks ago. I was looking on eBay and saw two books, actually, and I ordered both of them because they were $4, you know. If I could have found another one, I got a fourth one free, but I couldn't find another one. But it was a Louisiana cookbook. And I ordered it, and as I'm flipping through there, looking at all the recipes, and I'm just so excited about it, I come to a section in that book. You may have never heard the term, but if you've ever been in Louisiana, you would have heard this term. It's called lagniappe. It's a Cajun term. And what lagniappe means is a little something extra. And right after that, there were some more recipes. What you have here that God is doing for Israel is a little something extra. One commentator said, remember, this oasis wasn't needed in order to quench their desperate thirst. They had already been refreshed at Marah when God made the water sweet. Everyone was able to drink all that they needed. This oasis God had prepared for them just a short distance away. It was something extra. That's what caught my attention. It was lagniappe. You see, it was a little something extra. It was unknown and an unexpected blessing just around the corner. You see, folks, the God who is in control of the trials that come our way is a very compassionate teacher. And when one lesson is over, I believe that he can prepare for us and will provide for us those times of refreshing, so that we can learn the lesson, so that we can absorb the lesson, so that we can be prepared for the next lesson, so that we won't be so drained that we can't meet the next lesson. Sometimes it may not be true. But so many times in the life of Israel, so many times in the life of the disciples, Jesus tells the disciples in one part, come away with me for a little while and let's rest. I mean, if you begin to think about what you may be going through right now, it is bitter, and there's something on the other side of it, perhaps not all that far away, a time of refreshing, a time of renewal that God is preparing for you. You need to trust Him until you get there. That's how the bitter times can become sweet. Now, I have been told, and because I am a man, I do not know and will never understand, but I have been told that women, after they give birth, forget the pain when they're holding that baby. Huh? No, Chelsea's saying, uh-uh. Chelsea just blew my illustration. I'm kidding. I can tell you that I have had a kidney stone. And I have been told by the nurse in the ER, I said, I understand this is as close as a man will ever come to having a baby. She said, I've had both, and the kidney stone is worse. So I don't know. But I can tell you, Susie delivered both of ours naturally, without all that breathing. I don't know. But I can tell you that she never, ever, after she was holding Megan, she never talked about what she went through. You see, trusting God in the times of refreshing can help take the bitterness away. I can't imagine how they celebrated there. I mean, think about it. 12 springs, 70 palm trees. It was a beach resort compared to Mara. And God did it. And God did it. Application. Of all the things that I could say to you this morning, the sad part about this is that Israel didn't learn the lesson. We're going to get to chapter 16. That's coming right up. It wasn't too long. I mean, you go to chapter 16 and immediately they begin to grumble and complain. Verse 2, in the desert, the whole community grumbled. They didn't learn the lesson. But the question that I have for us this morning is, are we learning our lesson? Are we trying to absorb what God is teaching? You see, it's far easier to grumble and grow bitter than it is to look and to learn and to listen from what God is doing in our lives. And bitterness is very easy to spread. I mean, the whole nation began to grow bitter as they were going from the place that God had delivered them to a place that God was going to give them, a land that God had said was flowing with milk and honey. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, "See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Bitterness can be like a cancer. It can spread, it can hurt, and it'll spread to others if we allow it to. I don't know what you're going through today. I have no idea. As I've said many, many times to you, we come in here on Sunday mornings and we have smiles on our faces and we look and we act as though everything is okay when deep inside us we're hurting beyond measure. In those times of hurting, we need to look at them and say, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to do in me? What are you trying to develop in me so that I can be prepared for what is coming next? And in that, we have to call out to God. But in all of that, I think we also have to trust that God is going to provide some times of refreshing and renewal so that the bitter times can indeed become sweet. And it may be something that we can't even begin to imagine. Taking a piece of wood and throwing it into water would not be one of those things that I would have thought of, but God knew. And God knew that He was going to deliver His people at this point. You've heard it every week. It has been said every week since the beginning of the series that we serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who delivers. And God will deliver you. And God will deliver you. Let's stand. Lord, how grateful we are for your word. Lord, we read some of these very obscure passages and we wonder, what in the world can we get out of those things? But Lord, you're teaching us lessons all along. I ask you, Father, that you would help us today, that we indeed might trust you in those hard times, those harsh times. And when it seems like you've brought us to a bitter place, help us to remember, God, that you still are at work and that even though some things may seem, why should we do it that way? God, you're in process of using those things to bring us into conformity with the image of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when we cry out to you, you answer. Sometimes the answers may not be all that we want them to be. Sometimes it may be wait. Sometimes it may be no. But thank you, God, that you answer. And today, Lord, we give you praise for the times of refreshing. Times in which your Holy Spirit comes and works in us and renews us and restores us and helps us and gives us rest. Lord, I don't know who else in this room this message might have been for. But I'm thankful, Lord, for what it has done for me. And so, Lord, I ask you today that if there are those here this morning that needed to hear this today, that you would help all of us to take this and to find refreshing in the knowledge that we have a God who will deliver us, a God who is working in us, a God who has not forgot about us. And so we praise you and we thank you for what you through your Spirit have done in our hearts and lives today. Go with us and bless us and help us as we leave this place. And Lord, if we need to, help us, Lord, somewhere today to find a place that we can be alone with you and allow you to do a work in us. We give you glory, honor, and praise. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here today. May God bless you. It's been a wonderful day. Appreciate you being here. Remember all the activities this afternoon. You are dismissed.